Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Mark, it beginning to get cold here. We're in September. How are you doing?
Good. I wouldn't say it's getting cold here yet. It's still about a heat index of 102 today, but fall is in the air. Football is coming, and in Georgia, that's our religion.
Excellent. I don't know if there's a seasonal component to a community-acquired pneumonia. There certainly is with influenza. Community-acquired pneumonia is, of course, an acute infection. It's defined as an infection that somebody acquires in the community, as opposed to from a hospital, which we would call perhaps nosocomial pneumonia. It is potentially serious. It's relatively common, particularly among the elderly and particularly with those with comorbidities and things like COPD. Antibiotic therapy is typically begun on an empiric basis for a lot of good reasons. First of all, the causative organism can't usually be quickly identified. Clinical features and chest x-rays and things aren't particularly helpful in determining the etiology, which then would influence treatment decisions. Our old friend, the Gram stain, can be useful or selecting a choice of initial therapy if it's performed quickly and if it's performed on a good sample. But I don't know about for you, but in my clinic, it's nearly impossible to do a Gram stain anymore. Not only do you have to have all the reagents, but then you have to have the microscope that has to be in good working order and yada, yada, yada. So there's not really a good way to do this. The macrolides as a class of antibiotics are thought to be effective against atypical pathogens, and most professional groups recommend them in the absence of significant factors that would select for macrolide-resistant pneumonia. So you found an article from JAMA 2014, volume 311. It starts on page 2199. The article addresses the question, is the use of azithromycin for older patients hospitalized with pneumonia associated with an increased mortality or an increased risk of cardiovascular events? Sort of an interesting thing. It touches most of our clinical lives. Mark, what did they find?
Yeah, well, you did mention about the seasonality of community-acquired pneumonia, and certainly if you go to the CDC website, they have some nice graphs, and I use them in my teaching, showing the seasonal impact on of pneumonia and influenza related mortality. And so they combine pneumonia and influenza, and that's just classic seasonally associated. And they show nice endemic curves and kind of show when we're in an epidemic, those kind of things. So definitely seasonal. And I think this kind of study, this is not actually a randomized controlled trial. And the reason we're talking about it, we usually, when we're talking about treatment, talk about randomized trials, is because one of the limitations of randomized trials is that first of all, often the question gets set by the drug company. So you might have, questions that we're not as interested in being answered. You also have a highly selected population. And, so those things can limit the generalizability and usefulness of a trial. Now, of course, trials still are the gold standard, but increasingly we're seeing research done with some of these large databases that hospitals and health systems are building. And these have the advantage of being in real communities, real patients, real community-based doctors taking care of them. So the thought is that there's at least maybe a little bit more generalizability to what we do. And we can decide what the question is, given the constraints of the data. So this study used data from the VA health system, huge data set that they have there. And they looked at the association of azithromycin with death and cardiovascular outcomes in older patients who were hospitalized with pneumonia. They limited it to folks 65 and older who got antibiotics. And everyone, they only looked at people who got antibiotics that were consistent with the guidelines of the Infectious Disease Society of America and the American Thoracic Society. Kind of a funny sidelight, the IDSA and the ATS used to have separate guidelines, and one of whom's guideline process. I can't remember which one was sponsored by the manufacturer of azithromycin. And guess what they recommended, Mike, as their leading number one drug for pneumonia?
I hate when you hit me like this. How could I possibly guess?
It's a tough question. And then ATS, funny thing, they got sponsored by the Levaquin manufacturer, so you'll never guess what they came up with.
Azithromycin.
Yeah, it's pretty funny, right, actually. But fortunately, they got together. They got together, and maybe they're getting funding from everybody now. I don't know. But so they came up with guidelines that are actually pretty good, reasonable guidelines to use as a clinician. So the primary outcomes they looked at were death at 30 days and 90 days, as well as cardiovascular events. One of the concerns with azithromycin is impact on QT intervals and possibly leading to arrhythmias. And that has been shown in this VA database and some other studies. So the question was, you know, in this kind of typical VA kind of population, if people got antibiotic combinations that were consistent with the guidelines, so maybe it was Levaquin, maybe it was azithromycin, maybe it was azithromycin plus cephalosporin, they tried to take this cohort of data and use this modern propensity scoring approach to try to, as closely as possible, balance the groups. They had 64,000 patients. They had a mean age of 78 years, so a pretty old group. About 1 in 6 were in the ICU. About 1 in 20 got mechanical ventilation. So pretty sick group for having, you know, this is not your community-acquired pneumonia managed in the outpatient setting. In this cohort, in this study, 90-day mortality was significantly lower for those who had azithromycin as at least one of the drugs that they were on, 17 versus 22%, so number needed to treat of 20. The azithromycin users did have more MIs, about 0.7% more, so number needed to treat of about, doing this in my head, about 140. There were no statistically significant difference in overall cardiac events, arrhythmias, or heart failure. You need to treat about 20 patients with azithromycin as part of their regimen to prevent one death over 90 days. For every 144 that you treat with azithromycin, you cause one MI. So the net benefit is kind of a 7-to-1 ratio of deaths prevented to non-fatal MIs by adding azithromycin.
Do you have any idea the relationship? What is it about azithromycin that causes an MI?
Well, it and other macrolides, erythromycin, particularly when in combination with some other drugs, can increase the QT interval, and that can lead to an arrhythmia. That's the extent of my knowledge on it. I know that's the usual explanation I've heard.
I see. So it's a class effect, not a drug effect.
It does vary by drugs within the class, and it was possibly actually a little worse with erythromycin, if I remember correctly, than azithromycin.
So you've given us the number needed to treat and the number needed to harm. Is this a high enough or low enough number that you wouldn't use azithromycin as your initial drug of choice in otherwise undifferentiated community-acquired pneumonia?
Well, I actually would use it based on these results because you prevent 7 deaths for every non-fatal MI.
Would there be something else, though, that would prevent 7 deaths that would have no association with the heart?
Well, they compared the azithromycin containing with other, all of the other antibiotic combinations that were recommended by the guidelines, and they found that patients generally did better if the azithromycin was on board.
Great.
Yeah, I mean, ideally, you know, absolutely, ideally the best thing would be a large randomized trial or a large simple trial, something where you're, you are directly comparing these expert-based regimens, but that doesn't exist in the literature currently.
With a elevated risk population, say someone that you know has coronary artery disease, is that enough to push you away from azithromycin? I know that this study doesn't address that, but...
This study addressed it a little bit in that they did match on cardiac disease, and they did include people with known cardiovascular disease. Mm-hmm. I think most docs don't really, if they're admitting somebody for pneumonia, they're not thinking about, gosh, I'm not going to use azithromycin if they have cardiovascular disease history, right? I don't think it would necessarily push me away from it. I think it's a quite a small risk, and we're talking non-fatal MI.
Thanks, Mark. We will talk with you again next week. They're very interesting.
All right, thanks.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.